Reformed Church.
You know, here we teach rest from works, and we teach that, you know, it's not us. We're not the ones that actually bring things to pass in our life, that it's the Holy Spirit that works through us. But there is a mischaracterization of that, and there is a wrong way to take that, because even though it is true that we're not the ones that bring things to pass in our life, when you actually perceive that incorrectly, you actually kind of get into a what people would refer to as, you know, like God is in control or the sovereignty of God and things like that. If you don't perceive it correctly, you'll end up thinking, you know, I have rest from works and, you know, the Lord will take care of it, and forget, though, that we're actually the ones that initiate all of our receiving from God, and we're the ones that we are in control of the outcome of everything in our life. That is super important, that every single circumstance in your life, I'm not talking about in other people's lives, but in your life, you are in control of the outcome of that thing, fully in control. God is not the one that initiates any further, because again, as Ms. Kim was already praying, Jesus already provided what he needed to provide, and we are now in the driver's seat of our life as far as the initiation goes. God will bring the results to pass in your life, but you are the one that allows him to do that, which ultimately then puts you, in other words, the deciding factor as to whether your life goes right or left or up or down is us now. God is no longer the deciding factor. You know, I could bring you to a host of different verses, but I don't really know how this escapes people, even when people believe that God just kind of controls everything. There are so many scriptures I can bring you to, but one of the easiest ones, it really isn't just one scripture, but one of the easiest examples is Jesus in his earthly ministry. Jesus is the representation of God. You can't find out about God the Father without looking at Jesus. If you've seen Jesus, then you've seen the Father. But no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten of the Father, Jesus, who is in the bosom of the Father, Jesus has declared him. So you can't find out about God without seeing Jesus. So a great place to start if we want to find out about how God operates is to look at Jesus, and an easy place to find things about Jesus to look at him in his earthly ministry, because that's some of the plainest examples you can share with somebody else about Jesus, because he literally came to earth. So there's no ambiguity there. There's no unclearness about an example like that. And when Jesus came to earth, not only, you know, we can take a lot of different characteristics about Jesus and what we see of him on the earth. But one of them is that when people were healed or when people received from him, there was no no mystery as to why people received from Jesus when he walked the earth. I mean, constantly, if something went wrong in someone's life, Jesus would say, "Why did you doubt? You of little faith." When someone received, he would say, "Your faith has made you well." I mean, constantly. It's actually harder to find an example in the Gospels where he didn't say that. Again, think about the Roman centurion. He says, "Such great faith," right? And therefore, his servant was made well. The woman with the issue of blood, he said, depart in peace. Your faith has made you well. Even with Jairus and his daughter, he said, don't be afraid. Only believe, you know, and that she would be made well. Again, so many examples. In the storm, when the disciples were in a storm, and they're thinking, there's nothing we can do about this weather. We have no control over this situation, and they're just fearful. And Jesus, when he saw that they were in a storm, and the storm continued, and they were afraid for their life, he just said, "You of little faith." And when Peter was walking on water, Peter's walking on water to Jesus. When Peter starts sinking, Jesus didn't say, "Oh, you know, as the Lord wills." No, he said, "Why did you doubt?" So Peter's sinking was because of his doubt, not because Jesus needed to provide something further to Peter. Again, with any of these people that received, it was not, you know, "Well, we don't know what's going to happen. Well, I'll leave it up to God." If you leave it up to God, that's the kind of thinking that will kill a person. You'll die leaving it up to God, quote unquote, because when God has already provided everything to you, for believers, put it on the inside of us, and then put the ball in your court and said, "Now I'd like you to listen to me and believe," when you don't realize the ball's in your court and you think the ball's in the Lord's court, your life's going to keep going the same, and really what's going to happen, it's going to go down, 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 and you're just wondering, "Oh, you know what? You know, I just patiently continue. I'm just enduring in the Lord. I'm just waiting on the Lord. I'm just all these different things that we say. And you'll patiently continue right into a grave if you don't realize that the ball is in your court. And so whatever happens in our life, we are in full control over the course of it. Our health, you are in charge of whether your health goes left or right, up or down. You are in charge of whether your finances go left or right, up or down. All of these things, we are in full control of these things. And at first glance, that sounds in direct contradiction to rest from works. But here's the thing. The way that we control these things is by learning what we have in Christ and standing on those things and being firm about those things. We are in control, for instance, on whether our life, on our morality and godliness in our life. But it's not because we need to bring those things to pass ourselves. It's because we need to believe what Jesus did. So whether you're sinning at a certain time or whether you're not, you need to say, you know what, Lord? I choose to believe what you've given me, and I'm standing on the truth that you've given me all things that pertain to godliness. I'm a godly person in you. I have godly desires and intentions and motivations and all of these things in my spirit, and I will believe in the righteousness and godliness you've given me, and then that is all you need to do to initiate it. And if you will stand on that and continue in that, and despite what you see, if you'll not consider what you see like Abraham did, but you will just, you know, walk by faith instead of by sight, you're going to start seeing the Holy Spirit produce results in your life. So it's both. You have rest from works because the Lord will bring it to pass. The Lord is the one that works through us. But we are the ones that initiate every result. And as I said, if we have any respect for Scripture, I think everyone can agree that Jesus is the representation of God. And if we are to claim that God just does things by his sovereignty and we don't know exactly why things happen and we're just going to leave it up to God, and yet that's not the way it worked in Jesus in his earthly ministry, then we have a dilemma, obviously, because then we're accusing God of something that we can't accuse Jesus of, and there's something wrong with our doctrine there. Whatever you see in Jesus is what is true of the Father. Jesus did not operate one way in his earthly ministry, and then God operates a different way. They are the same. Jesus is the equal to the Father. In fact, the representation of the Father. And so if you want to know how God works, just an easy example to give people is look how Jesus operated in his earthly ministry. And ordinarily, when we start sinking in our life, we will normally, people will say, well, I don't know what God's doing here, but you know what? I'm just going to accept whatever God's bringing my way. I may not understand what he's doing at all times. And we don't realize, according to Jesus in his earthly ministry, if you're sinking, the Lord's saying, why are you doubting? Don't doubt. Why are you doubting? Even the man, again, another example, the man with the demon-possessed son that was brought to Jesus after the Mount of Transfiguration. You can find this in Mark chapter 9. The man brought his demon-possessed son to Jesus, and he said, you know, if you can do anything, help us. And that's what most Christians are saying to God. Father, if you can do anything, help us. And Jesus put it right back on him. He said, no. Don't give this to me. I'm here to provide everything you'll ever need, including the help for your son. He said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. You see, it's so important to understand that Jesus put that boy's father in the driver's seat and said, no, you got to initiate this. You got to initiate this. The Lord is waiting for us to acknowledge him. And man, I have more examples coming to mind even right now. Even when Jesus went walking on the water to his disciples, he says he made as if he would pass by them. Why would Jesus go out? His disciples are in a storm, needing help. And Jesus went out to the disciples, and he didn't immediately help them. He made as though, meaning he knew he was out there to help them, but he made as though he would have passed by them. Why? Because he needs to be acknowledged before he can intervene in our circumstances. We need to initiate the acknowledgement of him. God today is making as if he would pass by, and you need to acknowledge God and all that he's done through his son in order for him to intervene in your storm, if you want to call it that, right? I'm just saying, using the disciples in the boat analogy there. The disciples needed to acknowledge Jesus, and then Jesus could intervene. If you read Hebrews chapter 11, I would encourage anyone that has any debate in their heart, or even if you agree with this, to read Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, there is no ambiguity there as to why these people received. Why is it that Enoch never died? Was it because God just picked him as a favorite and just his sovereign will came to pass in Enoch's life? God just does miracles and we don't exactly know when why it happens? No, Enoch initiated that. Enoch initiated that. And the Bible says that. It says, by faith, Enoch. And it talks about how he received exemption from death because he had that testimony from God that he pleased God. But by faith, almost everything in Hebrews 11 is preceded by the words by faith. Why? Because he's trying to tell us that all of these results, those who stopped the mouths of lions and set armies to flight and did all of these things and saw all these miracles, God is trying to tell us there, this was not automatic. It was by faith. Somebody made a choice in human history to finally believe God about something that maybe their peers were not believing, and that's why they got results that their peers were not getting. The reason why most people's lives are going downhill eventually, slowly, is not because of the Lord. The reason why people are sinking is not because Jesus wants them to sink. It's why did you doubt? It's because these things are initiated by faith. If you want things to turn around in any area of your life, you can choose to turn any situation around in your life. And it's going to take a little bit of time for learning. But you can choose to turn any situation around in your life, financially, health-wise. Again, each person has to believe for themselves. But you can choose and dictate the results that you get in your life. And to say anything short of that is to not acknowledge, at the very in its very simplicity, how Jesus operated. Let me rephrase that, how the representation of God operated in his earthly ministry, as well as a host of other scriptures. I'm just trying to give it the most simple example that I can give right now to show that receiving is not a mystery. Again, any person, even in Hebrews chapter 11, that received, God makes note that it was by faith. The only people that it doesn't say by faith are those that were stoned, those that were sawn asunder, those that were, you know, killed and mocked, and all the harm that was done to those people. In Hebrews 11, that's the only examples that are not said to be by faith, which makes perfect sense because those things are not receivings from God. Those things are not part of the inheritance, and therefore those are not things that you're going to receive by faith. Those are examples of doubt and ignorance and not faith, but that's a whole other message. So I just wanted to encourage you with that because even though at first some people are not encouraged by that because some people, for their conscience, would rather say that it's in God's hands, but I'll tell you, once you get over that initial reaction, it's a comfort to know that anything in your life, you can change the course of it today. Today, if you hear the Lord's voice, don't harden your heart against it. That's actually a comfort to you if you actually get over that initial reaction because, again, God's not asking you to bring it to pass. He'll bring to pass miracles. But again, in Galatians chapter 3, if we needed another example, the way that God supplies you with his Spirit and works miracles among you is by the hearing of faith. It's not a mystery why certain people see miracles in this life and other people don't. It's not a mystery. It's always the hearing of faith. And if you're in that process of learning Jesus, continue in that process because you will see fruit and it does take time. But just know it's never, I'm just waiting on God's timing for this. I'm just, you know, throwing it in the Lord's hands. That's why people die, is because they throw something in the Lord's hands, so-called, that's actually in their court, and they don't realize God's waiting for them to make a decision while they think they're waiting for God to make a decision. God has already provided everything we need and healing and life and youth and all good things and the blessings of Deuteronomy 28, but we need to initiate those things in our own life by accepting the ball that was put in our court and say, Lord, I'm going to believe you, and I'm going to, instead of going by what I see, I'm going to stand on the truth, know who I am in Christ, and not allow this life to distract me from that. Super, super important. But if you do that, you're going to start seeing change in your life. But you have to stand on that. You have to be firm on that and not let, you know, people and other doctrine push you around.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.